Inspired by the primary purpose of our group. Upon this common ground, we stand committed. Our vision is that one day, every addict has a chance to experience our message in his or her own language and culture, and find the opportunity for a new way of life. Every member, inspired by the gift of recovery, experiences spiritual growth and fulfillment through service. Any service parties worldwide work together in a spirit of unity and cooperation to support the groups in carrying our message of recovery. And Narcotics Anonymous has universal recognition and respect as a viable program of recovery. Honesty, trust, and goodwill are the foundation of our service efforts, all of which rely upon the guidance of a loving higher power.
Thanks, Steve. Today, I already said that, but I'll say it again. Today, our speakers are Marisha, Zed, and is it Z or Zed?
We're in Canada.
It's Zed.
I don't even know.
Yes.
And we have Mike S. Each speaker will speak for about 15 minutes, then there will be an opportunity for questions or shared experience from the audience. This workshop is being recorded, and you can find it later on Vancouver area website. This is a little bit iffy, just so you know, I'm recording on my phone for the first time. And our first speaker is Marisha.
Thanks,
Elaine.
My name is Marisha.
Hi, Marisha.
Can everybody hear me? Because I can get louder. Usually I come and I speak about my story, so this is a little bit different. I'm actually speaking about my service experience, which is a little bit different. But I will start by saying, I believe one of the reasons why I stay clean and one of the reasons why I am who I am today is because of the amount of service that I've done over the years. And I believe that I found my voice by doing Narcotics Anonymous service. I believe that it helps me at work, and I believe it helps me at home, and in all my relationships. I first started doing service at Spring Clean, I believe, would have been my first kind of service, and I found purpose, and people actually listened and wanted to hear what I was saying. So that was really neat, rather than just saying, you got to go. You've done all the dope, it's time to go. So that was really nice. As I was preparing for this workshop, I was talking to Elaine the other night and getting excited because service is really exciting. And I heard at the last workshop how when people talk about area, they go, right? And that's not what happens for me. I love doing service. And if I don't like doing this service, I go over here and I try that service. So there's got to be your niche and where you find that it fills you up. So I was reading in Living Clean, and I'll just read with you some of what I read. And my sponsor and I like to say this line, and I read it in Living Clean, and it says that service is not a position on a committee, it's a position in the heart. And so when we give back in Narcotics Anonymous, we're not getting paid to do this. We're doing this on our own time. And I know people spend hours, weeks, months, travel, use their holidays, use their own money to do service for Narcotics Anonymous. I mean, that's pretty selfless, right? And I get all emotional. Because doing service in Narcotics Anonymous has saved my life, right? And so when I start talking about service, I get pretty passionate about it. Our relationship to service is the way that we express, and the way we express it changes as our humility deepens. So when I first started doing service, it was a lot about control, about position, and now it's more about integrity and honesty and encouragement, and I really try to step back and see the good in what we're doing and look at the big picture, right? And so right now I'm actually the chair of the PNW committee, and I've been on that committee for probably three cycles now, and I mean, it's not easy. It's not easy being on a committee, and especially a committee that meets for 2 or 3 years. And the reality is, when you're on a committee that meets for that long, people get loaded, people die. And how do we go on, right? How do we continue to have a successful event? How do we continue to grow and to change together when we're addicts, right? And so over time, I have learned how to do that. And if you're interested in getting involved in service at that level, just come. Just come and show up, right? Like, there's a position for everybody, whether it's just handing up the readings at the actual event, whether it is selling merchandise, regardless of clean time, there's always going to be something that you can do. Meetings are necessary to coordinate individual efforts and collaborate on joint projects. So when we have an idea, we come together, we meet, we brainstorm, we come up with ideas, and based on group consensus, we come up with an idea, and that's how we move forward. So everything from merchandise to the activities that are happening to fundraising, like this event that you're sitting at today, this is put on by PNW and by the areas. And so this is how we're fundraising to put on our convention that's happening in 2017. We have programming, we have registration, we have arts and graphics, we have entertainment, we have all these different subcommittees that meet at our host committee. And then you always have an executive. So the executive would be the chair, the vice chair, the secretary, and the treasurer. And whether it is area service or regional service or CANA service, you're always going to have an executive, and then you're either going to have the subcommittees, the GSRs, the RCMs, or whatever makes up that body. But it's kind of the service structure is always the same way, right? You have a facilitator, a co-facilitator, a chair or a vice chair, a secretary that's taking minutes, and a treasurer that's taking care of the money. The other thing that I want to say about doing service is that, for the love of God, it can't be boring. Like, if it was boring, I would not stay. So how can I make it fun? How can we as a committee get together and at the end of it not be like, oh my God, that was so horrible? It could be, yeah, it could be, this is super exciting. I can't wait till the next committee meeting, right? And at the end of it, we should be family and we should be a lot closer. It shouldn't be something that's painful every week. Every week I've got to go to that frickin' meeting, right? And so I really want to encourage people to be on a committee that fills them up, right? And so this is the other thing I was thinking about is effective leadership in Narcotics Anonymous. And without good leaders at all levels of our service structure, it will be challenging, if not impossible, to achieve our goal. And our goal is to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. So when we meet at an area meeting, that's where we brainstorm about what happens at your home groups. When we meet at a regional meeting, that's where we brainstorm about stuff that's happening in your area around the province. When we meet for a convention or for the women's retreat or for spring clean, we are putting together, we're collaborating, we're coming together for this main purpose, which is carrying the message to the addict who still suffers. And I don't know if you've ever had a chance to go to a convention. I mean, you're here today. This is a pretty cool thing to do. And I just get filled right up. You know, you've ever been to a meeting and you leave and you're like, oh my God, and you're on fire. And you're like, that fucking message rocked, right? Well, take that and you times it by 30, 40, and that's like what it's like at a convention. And then you times it by 600, and that's what it's like at a world convention. And so, because I've been bitten by the service bug, now I get to go out and spread that fire. And you know, at the PNW committee meeting that I'm involved in right now, that's, we might as well talk about what I'm involved in today, I really try to encourage the chairs to do the best at where they're at, because not everybody is the same, right? So you might be really good at selling. You might not be good at selling, but you're really good at taking the money and you're really good at putting into an Excel spreadsheet, and that's really important. So I'm going to hone in on your skill over there. So yeah, if you're interested in joining a committee or you want to know more, you can ask questions after we stop talking, or come and see me. I'm here all day. We have open positions at our committee, and we would love to have you. So thank you.
Thanks, Misha.
Mike S.
Hi everyone, my name's Mike from Attic.
Hi Mike.
How y'all doing today?
Right on.
Okay,
That was really good, Marisha. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
You left me too much time. So, you know, I put some thought to this on how I was going to approach speaking this piece of business meetings. So, home-based business meetings. And I think we probably have an audience today that's, I would assume many of you want to take some information away today on what can help you in your respective home groups, things that can apply, this and that. I'm going to begin by just starting out with, you know, Narcotics Anonymous, as Marisha has already described, there's a business side to it, right? And it happens on different platforms. But there's also the home group side, and decisions have to be made, right? And I find that the beauty in Narcotics Anonymous is there's autonomy. There's autonomy within each group based on the dynamics through the traditions and the concepts that gives the home group some freedom to make decisions. And I made some notes and I looked and I also kind of put my thoughts back to my own personal experience of being involved in my home groups throughout the years. And, decisions can be made through a group conscience, many of them, pending what those items are as they relate to the home group, right? Personally, when it comes to finance, I would sooner that a proper motion be made to that, because I think there's a perception amongst the collective fellowship that when it comes to dollars, you know, that there needs to be a little higher level of accountability. So that's my personal opinion on that. And that's what it's at, you know. I also believe that how a home group approaches within their membership of their groups, home group members, how they approach that inviting and messaging and conveying a particular message that welcomes the newcomer, you know, because that's the beauty of Narcotics Anonymous in the service structure, is it should be centered around, you know, that a newcomer, regardless of any history to what they bring into Narcotics Anonymous, you know, they tradition three states that the only requirement is a desire to stay clean. And with that, you know, I think the ever evolving service structure within Narcotics Anonymous begins within the groups, right? So it's about creating an environment and sustaining that within the home group that all are welcome, right? And it's about participation. And there's several different platforms of participating in your home group, right? Through the service thing. I'll just shift this a little bit towards my own personal experience. I guess when I came in the first, it wasn't too long before at my home group, I took on a service position. That was being the secretary, setting up the meeting, right? That kept me committed. And that, it did wonders for my resolve in Narcotics Anonymous, trying to stay clean a day at a time. And from there, obviously I was, for me at my home group, and this is a personal choice, a personal decision, for me to sign on to say I'm a member of this home group, that means that I put it on myself to attend business meetings. That's my personal commitment to me, right? That's a status that goes with, a criteria status that goes with my guess when I'm committed to a home group, right? Not that I get to every business meeting, but I get to enough of them, right, to support the group. I've experienced, observed in Narcotics Anonymous where, you know, we see it today, right, where certain meetings are not supported and new ones start up, other ones close, right? I think it's a reality, it's what happens, there's a lot of factors that go into that. But I think part of it also that impacts it is a fact of group members, and maybe where they're not getting enough members to turn out the business meetings, and it's the one or two people. And it wanes on them, you know, when it's isolated to not enough service positions within a group's home group that aren't filled in that. It's the same people advocating, you know, that they want help, they want people to step up, other members, and that. Those are some of the things that can impact it, right? God, the clock is moving so slow. But, you know, and I thank each and every one of you for showing up today. And please do not hold back on asking us any questions after, you know, we're done with this. And because there's not a stupid question today, okay? There isn't. All right, no dumb questions. So just ask, and we'll try and answer those as best as we can. So what else did I have here? I made some notes here. Yeah, group policies. I went online and I had a look to see what I'd already seen on there from the past, but to see what Narcotics Anonymous had for assistance for anyone to go on for running a group business meetings and that. And there's enough literature and basic stuff up there that anyone can go on and really get help on, you know, a simplistic order of agenda and things like that on running a home group business meeting. I probably have missed some points here, but with that, I'm not going to max out on my time. So with that, I'm just going to turn it over to Elaine, and I thank the committee for asking me to come out. I haven't done this kind of service for a number of years, so it was my pleasure. So thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Hi, I'm Elaine. I'm an addict.
Hi, Elaine.
And I can talk a lot. It's a pleasure to be up here. This is like sort of the nuts and bolts, right? Because you know, I've left home groups before because I couldn't stand how frivolous the business part was in NA. And I've stayed in business. I've stayed because I was so desperate to stay clean when I came in that I asked questions and I watched what other people did, right? And I saw the people that had lives that I forgot to do the seventh in between, so Kelly's going to pretend that he's in church and pass around the seventh for us. So basically, yeah, it's just the seventh tradition if you can contribute. That's basically how this whole day has been funded, is through the sevenths that were contributed to different areas in the Lower Mainland, right? You know, and that's one of the decisions that's made at home group. I had never studied the concepts before, and when I was looking, I got that little booklet on the 12 concepts that they have over in the back there, and I was so moved by the concepts, by the fact that that first concept that was created was to free up home groups for their main objective, which is to carry the message to the newcomer, right? Because that's what we're there to do. We're there to welcome that person coming in that's hurting, that's suffering, to give them hope, to carry a message. We can't be so busy like dealing with banking and rent for area. Like it's just a beautiful thing how the levels of service have been created. So it's to protect that home group's ability to carry a message to the newcomer. That's basically how I see the concepts, right? And so a lot of the concepts are applicable in these topics, right? Because what we have to remember is we're not taking all those responsibilities and just turning it over to someone else, right? It's still our business, right? And so we need a GSR that's going to area regularly, you know, at that next level and telling us what's going on, right? What's going on with our seventh, what's going on with the rest of the meetings, and then bringing that information back to us. And then like another one of the concepts is about how we have to vote on that, right? Like we are supporting area, we're supporting it with I didn't actually write that one down, but we're providing not just money to area, but we're providing guidance, right, and support. And I can't remember what else. You should go buy that book, because it's one you need to carry around. You can't just read it and you got it down, let me tell you. You can't just read it five times and you got it down. So that was really helpful. And I used to be in a home group with Mike for years, and he has a lot of humility, right? But the reason that I suggested that he speak on this topic and that I really wanted him to, why I was happy, was because he was important in my home group, in the sense that we need people, we need old timers there to ground us in our meetings, right? And in our service. And he actually remembers how Robert Rules works, right? So I could, when I was GSR and I was running the business meetings, that's what I did, was I asked people, right, that had knowledge how to do this, or for feedback or suggestions. And I think it's important, once you get some clean time, or if you're new, to make a commitment to your home group. I heard a speaker once say, and he's a little bit controversial, Vito, but he said that, it wasn't you, Mike. And he was talking, like, in his opinion, you can say you're a member at any time, right? But anybody can come to a meeting, but you're just visiting if you don't have a home group, and you're not, going to your home group regularly and attending business meetings and doing service, right? Otherwise, you're just visiting and you need to get in the middle and get involved and to become a member. And one of the other things we really wanted to do with this learning day is to remind people of how much literature NA has that is gold, that just says step by step what we need to do, right? Like, I've been looking at a lot of it online for free at NAWS.org, which is NAWS.org. And they have the group business pamphlet, they have group trusted servants, roles and responsibilities. The concepts are on there for free, and the book, A Guide to Local Services, and that also applies to all levels of area, including the committees as well. And another really great one is Principles and Leadership in NA Service, because in that one it talks about sort of the leadership qualities that we need in our trusted servants. Like, we need our treasurer to be responsible, right? You want somebody, like, that's why there's often a clean time, right? You don't get the brand new person to do it, right? And often, yeah, we throw the brand new person in to be a GSR, right? So there's a wealth of information available on that back table that Greg has brought from regional literature and online for free. And if you want more information, like, you might want to, if your group doesn't have the information, like the booklets on how to run a group business meeting, then maybe put out a couple of bucks for that at your next business meeting. So I hope you guys, like, you probably already are the type of people that stay for business meetings, right? What do you think?
Maybe.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yes.
Yeah, they're cheaters, I can tell. A lot of them have passion for service, which is for sale at the back table for $25 to help pay for this event. So do we have any questions from the audience? Come up, or I can get up.
Jen, I just wondered if anybody had any experience with doing a group inventory, and if it's been a group there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good question.
Has anybody done a group inventory?
Yeah.
Do you want to come up?
Excuse me.
Just quickly, we made it a potluck dinner before the meeting. It was really fun, and then we asked ourselves, how can we carry the message better to the newcomer?
Neil Haddock.
Hi, Neil.
Yeah. When we did a group inventory, we had the same kind of thing. It was a potluck, and did it kind of like a group unity day. And then we felt like our home group was running really well, but we just thought we would do it because it was suggested. And what we realized from the group inventory was we didn't have enough service positions because at the time we had a lot of people. And some people were wanting things to do and they didn't know how to get involved. So that was the best thing that came out of it, was just a greater sense of unity, and we created some positions to get more people involved. So, thanks.
Thank you.
Just on the group inventory, they have an area inventory, mid-regional inventories as well. In the Guide to Local Service, they actually have the format of doing a group inventory. And I like the point that you were making about there were lots of people who wanted to do service, but there weren't enough positions. And how, when you do a group inventory, you can brainstorm those ideas and come up with neat ideas like door greeter, like having coffee at your meetings or not. Like, where is the money going? Do we want to give it to area? Do we want to give it to regional? Do we want to send it straight to world? Do we want to sponsor people to go to an event? I've seen people being sponsored to go to the women's retreat or to spring clean. I was recently down for the World Convention in Brazil, and I'll just share this story because it's very cool. We went to a meeting in Copacabana, and these guys have barely any clean time at all, and they want to get involved. And so what they do throughout the entire meeting is they make espressos, and they bring espressos with little milk and little sugar around to everybody in the meeting on a tray, and that's his job, is to serve espressos and cookies in Copacabana. Like, how would you even think of, right? So if you think of a position that's like good for your home group, try it. There's no boundaries, there's no rules.
Thank you. Any other questions? Hi, Lorna.
Who usually runs a group business meeting?
Who usually runs a group business meeting? It's actually in that booklet for group business meeting pamphlets and in group trusted servants. Usually it's the GSR, but it can be the secretary. Usually the secretary takes notes and the GSR runs the meeting. And then what happens is each of the trusted servants are given an opportunity to present a report, like the treasurer, how much money is, you know, and then, yeah, each trusted servant makes a report. And then if there's any new old business to be dealt with, new business. Just throw that in there because I told I can talk a lot. Yeah. Okay, Lorna is asking if we run a group business meeting by Robert's Rules or something different like consensus building. That's a group decision. Like, that's the autonomy of the group to be able to decide that. And I've been in business meetings where we've done both. We're just like, just flexible like that. Just trying it all. Anyone else? Any questions?
I have a comment.
The other thing is, I think we're in a day and age right now where minutes should be recorded in your business meeting, okay? And obviously with social networking, it probably can be a tremendous benefit to the other members and things like that. So just make sure, if it's possible, record the minutes.
Thanks, Mike. Okay, any other comments? Okay.
Oh, there's one over there.
Oh, hi.
Hi, Valerie. I'm just curious, in a group business meeting, if there's a consensus that someone is no longer functioning at their full potential due to age or brain damage or something, how would you approach that? You know, because if they're showing up to all the meetings and having a vote, but for example, not necessarily processing all the information.
So your question is that if there's a home group member showing up at a business meeting that has brain damage or some sort of issue where they're not able to gather all the information in?
Yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah, I can probably answer that.
Okay. I'll try and answer that. From a practical perspective, I think that some form of group members just is offline, for lack of a better term, probably speak about delegating one person to have a one-on-one probably discussion with the member. And see where that goes. Okay.
Do you want to speak to it?
Yeah. So, does the member hold a position at the home group, or is the member just voting on issues?
Assigning authority and. Okay.
So, voting on issues, everybody has a vote, and you're a member when you say you are, right? Tradition 3, the only requirement. Like, we know that stuff, right? But if the person holds a position, this is what I was thinking, is that it's really important that we have rotation of service. And it's vital that we don't stay in a position for 5-10 years, especially a treasurer's position, or any position for that matter, right? Like, it's really important that the books are checked, that we're accountable to each other. So even though this person's really, really good at this position, that doesn't really matter. Like, they need to mentor somebody else, and then we need to have this rotation of service so that hopefully things like that don't happen. And if they do, and when they do, it doesn't last for years. It lasts for one. Because, okay, this person was voted in as secretary, but they're never opening up the door, or blah, 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 right? So the rotation of service is really important. Absolutely. And then usually in a home group, I mean, depending on the size of your home group, you might want to have 4 or 5 signing authorities. Okay, because people get loaded, people don't show up, whatever, people leave, right? So that's important. And then I've also seen where they've actually had interventions for, I want to find a good word, and I'm just going ghetto, so I'm trying to think of a good word. Not a ghetto word. Okay, so someone that's acting out, right? And how do we deal with that member that's continually acting out with bad behaviors at meetings? And so we have had interventions and groups of people gotten together to discuss how to handle that spiritually. And those are really hard times. And then you can ask somebody at the area level to come and help, or the regional level to come and help. Because that stuff gets hard, right? And we don't want to oust the member, but we need to also have a safe place for our members to go and meet, right? Because ultimately we're here to save each other's lives. So I hope that helps.
Thanks, Misha. Mike?
Yeah, I'd just like to add here also to help hopefully answer the question, and it's got to do with the group policy. So. What are group policies? They can be defined as group procedures, guidelines, and limitations used by home groups to carry out its business, okay? So, again, just to reiterate the message, you have autonomy as a group to develop those policies, okay? So, hopefully that helps.
One more thing, Greg came over from the literature table to remind us, we have this pamphlet, Disruptive and Violent Behavior. So it talks about, you know, some of the strategies you can have, and even though it's not, it might not be that disruptive, it's still strategies to deal with behaviors of a rebel. Is there any other questions or comments about meetings? Hi.
I have a question. My name is Amon, and I'm
an Hi,
Amon.
Hi, Amon.
In our particular group, we have one train of thought, which is the group conscience is what we should go by period, and that there should not be voting.
Mm.
And when I'm looking at the group business meeting pamphlet here, it says we sometimes use the vote as a rough tool for translating the decision into decisive terms. Is there anything more in terms of guidance on that, or is that sometimes and do as the group conscience wishes?
I think, I mean, there's... I can't remember everything that you said to repeat so it's recorded, but essentially you're talking about your home group going with the group conscience and not voting on stuff, just sort of going with what's already in place, right?
Yeah, and if there is an issue that comes up,
certain member who would say, look, you don't use a vote, you have to use a group conscience, but there's nothing more definitive. And my own thinking is, well, why would we not use a voting procedure when it helps to expedite matters? Mm-hmm.
Right. So you're looking for literature that supports doing that. And I think, you know, what the only thing that comes to mind for me is the group inventory. You know, that's sort of a neutral place where the group members can discuss how they deal with things like that, and allowing discussion on the pros and cons of doing things either way. I don't know, can you think of anything?
Well, I guess I'm not really understanding, but there's two different ways to run a business meeting. So one is Robert's Rules, which is the voting, and the other one is consensus decision-based making, which is also voting, right? So either way, you're still voting on something. So I guess I'm a little unclear.
It's okay, you just gave me the answer.
Okay.
Yeah.
So either way, you're still saying I'm in favor. If the whole group doesn't agree in consensus decision-based making, you step away from the table, or then you continue to hammer it out, and either way, you still have to hammer out what's going on. So you can choose to step aside, to agree to disagree, but we still vote on what's going on. Okay.
Just in what I've seen at area, we actually don't go 100% in favor, so it's up to that body of service or group to decide what the percentage is of consensus needed.
So, in essence, what we're talking about here is group governance, is what it is, right? And you have that freedom. You can define that in a policy through group conscience, or, you know, from whatever it is. You have a lot of freedom there. Okay.
Great. We still have time. Hi, Paula. Hi, Paula.
How would you go about starting?
Would you be able to come up here to the microphone?
Okay.
Okay, so how do you get a business meeting going at a home group level? Does anybody want to switch that?
Want me to switch?
Sure.
It doesn't
matter. Go for it.
Okay, I'll try and answer that. I believe there to start one, probably inaugurally just make an announcement. Maybe if your structure of your meeting is where you have a 15-minute break or whatever that is. And if you don't have one and your meeting runs consecutively from the start right to the end, then possibly suggest it at the front end of the meeting through the chair. I'd be looking to do that.
I'm talking about getting your home group to have a meeting.
Oh, getting them to commit to have a home. Okay, have a meeting.
So we want to control the group. No. I have no idea how to do it. I've tried.
You can.
I was upstairs and I was just listening to the other topic, and that was about, you know, control issues and things like this. And one of the messages that I received upstairs was, it's about approach too, and it's about having a soft approach to group members about advocating to the importance of having a meeting. It's about how you present that, approach that, respectfully ask your fellow group members what time and dates are appropriate, available, kind of put a timeline on it and say, can everyone look and see what can work for everyone? Because if this home group meets what it does to each of you, what it does to me, then I think it warrants that we should have a business meeting. So it's about the approach.
Yep.
That's as good as I can answer that.
Thanks, Mike. Okay, and one other thing, I read something about it, but I can't remember where, and it was saying you can suggest like the last day before area, right, so that area business can be done, and to announce it in meetings when it is, so that people get to know when it is and they have time to prepare. And we have time for one last question or comment. All right, let's do the long form of the Serenity Prayer. Just kidding. I'm sorry, I wanted to make one announcement too. On the break, you can buy your tickets for tonight's lasagna dinner at the concession over there. They're, just to give them a heads up of how many there'll be, it's very helpful if you could do that. Thank you.
We've never done this right here. I don't know how to turn it on. Do you?